Danny, a well-deserved honour, one would have to say. You mightn't say it, but I think the public and people involved in athletics would agree that Danny McDade's name deserves to go into the Hall of Fame in Donegal Athletics.
No, sure, any presentation like this is, you know, it's a great honour, Miles. Of course, I'm delighted to get it and honoured that the county board, your own fellow athletes, put you forward for this award, so that's good.
Yes, it's hard to be a prophet in your own land, Danny.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't take any of these awards lightly, you know, and this one would be up there with the best, you know. It rewards, you know, what you've done all your life, you know, thank God I've had a long life in athletics and still going.
Still going is right, Danny, there's no doubt about that. Yeah, Patsy just briefly mentioned a couple of landmarks. Well, sure, look, they're well rehearsed. You know, two Olympics, I suppose, the highlight, 72 and 76. But your longevity, which is a very important thing, I suppose, you can have flashes in the pan, but Danny McDade, certainly no flash in the pan, and been at the top level for many, many years.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. And looking back on the, you know, the my achievements been highlighted there last night, you know, I sort of had to pinch myself, you know. Who would have thought, you know, like where I came from, 53 years ago, that this list of achievements would be up there, you know. And, you know, it was, it's, you know, I suppose, you know, when I started out, you know, 53 years ago, it was very different to how things are today, you know. But sure, you know, I suppose I'll be forever grateful to Cranford for giving me the opportunity to be on that stage.
Well, you were involved in sports, I do believe, in training on your own, and I think you came across Paddy Marley at a sports meeting in the county, and he said, look, I'm involved with a club here in Cranford, why don't you join us? And I suppose, as they say, the rest is history.
Oh, absolutely, because, you know, I always believed that I could run, you know, but I never, you know, I just school sports and parish sports and that, you know, I never got the opportunity probably to run the longer distances, but, you know, there was no fear in the longer distances for me, so I suppose that was a good start, you know, and hard work, I suppose, never came into it. It was a matter of, you know, doing what we thought was right anyhow, you know, so that's where I took it from, you know. And like I've said many times over the years, you know, it was remarkable that I didn't start until, you know, competing on, and, you know, at higher level until I was 24, you know, when you think now of the opportunities that the young people get, you know, and, you know, 24, you nearly expect them to be washed up at that stage, you know, whereas, you know, I started at 24, and by the time I was, you know, that was in 65, and 69 I got my first international, and then 70 won my first national marathon, 71 competed in the European marathon, finished 11th, 72 the Olympics, you know, but, yeah, there was ups and downs, of course, in between, but I suppose sticking with it, you know, and probably grateful that I had up with, you know, with Lonnie Harriers in Lara Bourne, my coach, for, you know, 4 or 5 years. Lara coached me up until 1972 and that, you know. And that was about 4 or 5 years, and like Laro said then, you know, well, if you haven't learned enough now at this stage, so I was more or less on my own from that, you know, but Laro was great, you know, and I mean, when you look at the facilities that they have here now, and Donegal alone, you know, where you have, you know, three tracks, you know, you have Letterkenny, Lifford and Finn Valley, you know, there was no tracks at that time.
That's Tartan tracks now we're talking about,
Yeah, we used to, 300 or 400 measured in a farmer's field. Pitch.
You yeah,
know,
maybe.
So that was you know, that's where we come from, you know. But yeah, you know when you see nowadays the dietitians, nutritionists, and you know, coaches and sports psychologists, you know, what could, you know, my generation have done, you know, when you look back on it, if we had got any of this, these facilities, you know.
One would have to remember as well, Danny, you left Donegal, went to Dublin, you had to earn a living, and you earned it the hard way by working by day and training by night, or maybe training in the morning and night.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, within a short time after I went to Dublin, you know, the first year, I got in touch with Laro at that time, and I wanted to run track. You know, track and field was always my first priority, 5,000 metres, 10,000 metres. So, you know, after the first year, I tried the marathon and ran poorly. You know, I think, you know, around something like 2:40 for the marathon. Had a terrible day down in Galway, you know, in 1968, you know. So Larry came in that year and said, you know, Danny, you know, you're not going to run marathons on track training, you know. So, you know, he gave me a schedule, and, you know, Larry was very good with his notes, you know. He said, the above schedule entails running 90 miles a week, you know. And, you know, I said to Larry, you know, I can't run night. I was probably running 50, 60 miles a week at that stage, you know. I said, I can't run 90 miles a week, you know. But I got down to it, and probably within 2 or 3 years, I was running 140 mile a week, you know, week in, week out, you know. So that was where Lar instilled in us, Lar was our dietitian or nutritionist or, you know, sports psychologist, and but most of all, he was also our friend, you know. Mm-hmm. So you had to respect, you know, I respected Lar, and Lar, you know, We saw more or less what you call a CNATA, you know. We had respect coming from maybe similar country backgrounds. Lara was a Wicklow man and came up the hard way as well, and, you know, knew what we were going through, you know. I remember as well, you know, being up at Clonough on the opening of the 68 Olympics in Mexico. I remember one of the officials saying to one of their top young fellows, that a top young fellow in Clonough at the time, he was Tom Greig, and he was 17, 18 years of age, and he was going close to 4 minutes for the mile. So the, you know, we were showering after the, you know, after our training session. So some of them said to him, you know, go home and watch the Olympics on television, and you know, because you'll be there in 72, you know. So I went home, and we went down to the corner shop, the Telerents, and we watched the Olympics from the window of the Telerents. We hadn't a television, or couldn't afford a television, and you know, that's Tom Regan didn't make the Olympics in 72, but
Danny McDade did.
Yeah.
Amazing story.
Yeah.
Did you see Bob Beamon break the world record for the long jump?
Yes, and, you know, and which was extraordinary, and, like, we couldn't get the sound, but it is Dick Fosbury introduced the Fosbury flop.
That's right.
You know, for the high jump, and, you know, that's the standard way of doing the high jump now, you know, but we couldn't. We could get our heads around it, you know. And
you're wondering what he was doing.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. But
you're 140 mile a week running. You know, sometimes they don't do that in cars now for a week. But in relation to that, were you still working at the time? Well, you were always working, but were you working on the building site, or were you in the post?
Oh, well, you know, I'd have been in the building sites for some of that time, you know, but probably later years, I joined the post office in 1973, but, you know, this was coming up to Munich, like I would have been doing 120, 140 mile a week coming up to Munich. Yes, I would have been working on the Belton sites at that stage, yeah.
Amazing. There's somebody out there is listening, and they asked, well, they told us that Danny McLeod ran a 2:13.06 marathon. We're well aware of it, but the listener's asking, how did you run it? Well, I'm not sure what the question is, but probably you ran it because you did the work.
Yeah, you know, I was, you know, I come into it in great shape, all right, yeah. I was, you know, I knew, I remember, you know, one of the BLE officials, or, you know, athletics officials coming down on the lift that day, you know, and this is what time you're going to run today, you know, is you're going to run, I can't remember, it was 2:12 or 2:14. I said, I'm run whatever it takes to win it. That's what I'm prepared to run. So, so that was, you know, that's how, you know, I was confident enough that I had the work done, and like Laro would have said, you know, the winter leading up to the Olympics, no stone must be left unturned, you know, to make. Make Munich, you know, so, you know, that's what I was prepared to do, you know, so that's where it was.
You also mentioned about the track was very important to you. To run a sub-30-minute 10K over 40 and to do 29:10 for a 10K, that's fantastic running, and we are talking about the 1970s.
Oh yeah, you know, there's a thing, you know, when you see, you know, like my 5,000 meter time was 13:56, and like I was 38 years of age at that stage, you know. That was my PB, you know.
Was that down in Cork?
That was in Cork in 1979, I think it was. Yeah, aye. And you know. But sure, things have moved on, and things are very different now, you know. But it's still nice to see them achievements, like, you know, probably, you know, a lot of people nowadays maybe don't remember, you know. But that time, it was week in, week out, you know. You were out there competing, you know. A lot of athletes nowadays, I think they're too selective in what they do compete in, you know, because that time, you know yourself, you were around as well, and you saw week in, week out. I would have been running international this Sunday, and next Sunday I was in Cranford Park, mm-hmm. taking part in a club race or a county championship, you know. You ask any club captain nowadays, how hard it is to get teams out to compete in their county championships or the likes of that, you know. And when have all the top distance runners in Ireland, how often do they compete against each other? That time it was, you know, I rarely won races, but you were in the top. You had the top six, the top ten of the best distance runners in the country competing week in, week out, you know, but that doesn't happen anymore, you know.
Yeah, and it's probably a disadvantage to the athletes themselves, because you need that competition, and if you don't have it, and it is available in Ireland, they should be availing of it. I would just give an example, you know, the county teams, would there not be better training together as they used to do? To get this team spurred and maybe to push themselves along, and maybe similarly from an international point of view?
Oh, I believe they should, you know. And you mean, I would go back looking at squad days that we had, you know, the likes of, you know, with Eamon Harvey, coach there, and that, you know, he was great motivator and got squad sessions and even, you know, residential weekends together for young athletes and for seniors, you know. And the same with, you know, at national level where I got involved, I would travel to Dublin, to Limerick, you know, for squad sessions, you know. And you know, they're all individuals now, and they can't seem to fit this in for whatever reason, even though most of the top athletes are full time, you know. But, you know,
That's a good point as well.
Things
yes,
have changed, you know.
Because you know, it's a very lonely sport. One would have to say the athletics, and maybe it's a little bit easier if you're part of a team.
Well, if, you know, of course, it's, you know, it's a lonely sport, you know. But I suppose looking on the, you know, on the broader thing, you know, we have up to 60,000 athletes registered with Athletics Ireland today, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I mean, have standards improved?
Well, no, not certainly not, in your disciplines.
Not by a long shot, you know. And you know, even you know the we have some good juniors coming along there now, you know. But still, they're only juniors, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're long ways, you know. Like we have sprinters, and you know, sure we have Thomas Barr and Mark English probably top of the pile in track and field, but you know. There's some juniors coming along there, but they have a long way to go until they're 24, 25, 26, you know.
Would you suggest that maybe they, you know, put too much emphasis on winning too early in their careers and maybe are a wee bit spunt out by the time they come to say...
But then again, you need so many things to be a top athlete, you know, and if there's one link missing, mm-hmm. then that's, you know, you're going to fall down. I mean, you know yourself, you know, the talented athletes that I've saw come through mm-hmm. even our own clubs here or county here, you know, you'd say, wow, you know, uh-huh. this is going to be it, you know. But, you know, 5 years, you know, they seem to feel, you know, even in Donegal, like, you know, we have 2,500 registered with Athletics Ireland in Donegal. That's juveniles and seniors, you know.
Yeah.
And how many more people are out there running? Probably another, you know, which is good for health-wise, but not for competitive athletics. Competitive athletics, you know, hasn't moved on. You know, out of that 2,500, you know, how many are compete for the club? You know, I would have thought it was a good thing to get the numbers involved, you know, but you know, that they'd be good for, you know, you might get a good administrator, or which we probably do, or you might, you know, you might get somebody, you know, that will help and run a club, you know, but you know, that doesn't happen, you know. The you know, I'm not saying that everybody should have goals, you know, and it doesn't matter what their standard is, you know, that they have a goal and pursue it, you know, but, you know, there's a lot out there running, and I think they might be better employed giving something to the sport, you know. They want to run, which there's nothing wrong with, they want to run sub-20 minutes for 5K, you know, but I mean, in my time, you lined up for a race and there was probably 15 runners in it, you know, and, you know, every one of them would be up there, was he, you know. Nowadays, and then again, you know, even juveniles are taking part in 5Ks, which I totally disagree with. But I mean, that's my opinion, you know, but, you know, for good middle distance young athletes to be running 5Ks, as far as I'd be concerned, would be a no-no, you know. Okay to run the distance in training or that, you know, I don't have a problem with that, but going out competing on the hard roads at such a young age, I don't think it's doing anything for their development in middle distance running.
Mm-hmm. Somebody has contacted us to ask the question, what was his qualifying time in comparison with the winners of the Olympics?
Well, yeah, I qualified, you know, in 2013 that I ran to qualify for Montreal. Sixth place in the Olympics that day was Lassie Vierne in the Olympics on exactly the same time as I ran, 2 hours 13 minutes 6 seconds. Okay, I got injured before and was nowhere near my best, you know, but that is where I could have placed. Mm-hmm. In the Olympics.
And he was a double-double Olympic champion, winning 5 and 10K in 72 and 76.
That's right, yeah. And he ran 2:13.06, the exact same time as my PB, you know, but that's, you know...
Oh, that's the standard you were at?
Yeah, you know, like, I would have been, you know, in both Olympics, I think I finished about the 11th, European.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's the standards were high because, you know, there were three athletes from each country, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, I mean, there have been a lot of countries from Europe would have had their three athletes there, you know, and to finish 11th and, you know, European was, you know, it was an achievement as well, I suppose, you know.
Well, we'll finish on a high as well, go back to Limerick 79, captain of the Irish team that finished second in the World Championships, Cross-Country Championships, and, of course, John Tracy winning the event.
Yeah, that's, you know, that was a great day, and, you know, it was a great era and in cross-country running. You know, cross-country running was special to us, you know, even though, you know, we all did the track in the summertime, you know, but then it was back to the basic hard work, you know, for cross-country. And we were fortunate that we had a very sound team at that time, you know, a lot of these, you know, like Jerry Deegan, John Tracy, his brother Ray, you know, Eamon Coughlin was on that team. You know, the good athletes that didn't make the team that time were, you know, like Jerry Kiernan and Need Cusick, and, you know. Uh-huh. But that's, you know, it was a special day, you know, for Ireland. And, like, we were honoured there, and, you know, a few years ago for the sports writers, the name Legends team, you know, so we were named as one of the Legend team, you know, but Peter Byrne, that wrote Athletics and the Irish Times, you know, said it was a benchmark for, you know, from 79 onwards, it was a benchmark for Ireland, you know, that this is where we should be at, you know, and, you know, the likes of Sonia Sullivan and teams like that, that was, you know, but they reckoned that was the benchmark that Ireland could mix it with, you know, the best in the world.
Best in the world. And, so. Well, you've done it. You've got an award because of it, the Hall of Fame, and, of course, you were a member of the 20 athletes that got Sports Star Awards in 1977, and you were honoured there last week. So the awards coming in thick and fast.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, it's good. You know, and you know, I was out at that function the last night there. You know, and I was a bit chuffed that Martin Carney singled me out for praise as well. You know that you know when. When it wasn't popular, you know, mm-hmm. there was, you know, of course there's been good sportsmen over the years, you know, but I suppose I was forced maybe to make at international level, you know, but we're not in a bad place in athletics, you know, where we had 40 young athletes there last night from different clubs receiving awards, you know. But, you know, we need to push on, you know, and of course we need to, you know, money talks, you know, and I believe we need more money in Donegal County Board to more coaching and to develop the sport, you know, and, you know, my idea of it is, you know, that we should be cashing in on the county board, we should be cashing in on the amount of people that are out there running and taking part in races, other organisations using our sport to raise funds, you know, that we should be, there should be a levy on each participant, you know, because a lot of the people that are running these races are not putting anything into our sport, you know. So, you know, for that reason, you know, if we were to race, I want to develop track and field athletics. My whole aim and my sporting life is to promote track and field athletics and you know, road running across country. They come as a build up to it, you know. But for all these young athletes, I would like to, you know, but you know, a lot of these people that are out running these, you know, 5-10 Ks, you know, take our international meet. There were 300 people paid into it, you know. You know, nearly any road race you have 200-300 people taking part in, and that's 60 or 70 races in the year, you know. So what, you know, we don't seem to be cashing in maybe on this